When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning and welcome to Score Values on 670 The Score. I'm your host, Alex Kuhn. Today, we will chat with a cellist from the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, as well as tell you about an organization providing meals to the homeless in an atmosphere of dignity and respect. And last but not least, an organization that is helping families in need of canine therapy dogs to help train those dogs to help the families in need. We now welcome Brant Taylor, a cellist at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. He joins us this morning on Score Values. Brant, how are you doing this morning?
I'm wonderful, Alex. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, how are things going down there at Symphony Center with the CSO?
Well, you know, I always remind myself I'm a lucky person to be able to make a living playing as a part of this wonderful ensemble. We've been back from a very long European tour that took most of January, which we can talk about if you like. And this is
absolutely
a couple weeks back into our normal schedule of concerts for our local audiences here. So exciting programs. And this week in particular, I'm enjoying very much.
Yeah, well, let's get into the European tour. How many stops along the way, and what was that experience like for you guys?
I always say touring is one of the nice parts of our job. There are certainly some complications to being away from home logistically for that length of time, but this was 3 weeks spent in, I believe, 11 different European cities, and the concerts went wonderfully, and they were conducted by our now music director emeritus, Ricardo Muti. Audiences were great, and it's just interesting to be in different places, look at these cultures, and sort of brings home the idea to me that music is one of the few things that really is sort of universal, and that people, no matter where we go in the world, are ready to respond to. The realities of touring, you know, if you look at the list of cities we went to, it looks extremely glamorous. It's all the major European capitals. And as you might expect, the reality of touring behind the scenes is a little bit more complicated. And we're obviously trying to be well rested and be able to do our best for all of the concerts. So it was a busy trip, some stops where we would travel to a different city midday, have a few hours in the hotel, play a concert that night, and then be off the next morning to the next place. So it was a busy trip, but I think I speak for my colleagues when I say we consider ourselves lucky to be able to do this type of travel and to represent Chicago around the world.
Brant Taylor, a cellist for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, joining me this morning on Score Values. And let's get to what I just sort of brought up. Can you tell us a little bit about your career, where you were before, and how you landed in the CSO?
Sure. I don't come from a musical family, so I'm a little bit of an oddball this way, but was lucky to start in a public school music program and found a way never to quit playing the cello before college. And I discovered in college my first love, which is chamber music. So there was a time, believe it or not, where I really wasn't thinking that I would have a job in a major orchestra like the CSO. When I left college, I was playing in a string quartet professionally for the first few years of my career. And then when I transitioned to thinking about orchestra life, I played very briefly in the New World Symphony, which is in Miami Beach, Florida. And then for 1 year, I was in the St. Louis Symphony before coming to the CSO in 1998. So believe it or not, this is my 26th season in the CSO.
So with all of that experience that you have gained, how much pride do you take in paying forward your experience in teaching the next generation of musicians?
That's a great question. And I take a large amount of pride in doing exactly that. And I enjoy teaching, but part of why I do it is out of a sense of responsibility, because learning to play the cello or any other instrument isn't something that you can usually do well just by reading books or watching internet videos about it. It's one of those sort of old school crafts that you can really only learn by studying with an individual one-on-one in a very intense way. So I was very lucky to have great teachers. And so part of why I teach now, and part of why I'm involved in some of the CSO's efforts to pass on great information is exactly that. It's out of a sense of responsibility, but I obviously take a great deal of satisfaction in doing it as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what type of programs does the CSO offer to young musicians and to teach, to kind of work on musical curriculum?
So there's an arm of the CSO that's called the Negaunee Music Institute, and that encompasses all of the educational activities of the CSO. And there, as you might expect, is a wide range, everything from programs that invite very young children into our concert hall, programs that are specifically designed to introduce young people to the orchestra, to the instruments of the orchestra, all the way up to, at the other end, the Civic Orchestra of Chicago, which is the training, it's billed as the training orchestra of the Chicago Symphony. So this is made up of young people who are on the verge of professional careers. Some of them are still finishing the last bit of their schooling. Others are finished with school and are really sort of on the diving board, ready to jump off into the profession. So I have the opportunity to work closely with the cellists who are in the Civic Orchestra and to sort of give them the final bits of inspiration and cheerleading that they need to take auditions and to be ready to enter the profession. So those are sort of both of the ends of the CSO's activities. And I think, yeah, music education in general is something that the more of it we have, I think the better society is. So the CSO seems to, for me, it's gratifying to take part in what the CSO can do in this regard.
Brant Taylor, cellist from the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, joining me this morning on Score Values. And Brant, you mentioned that you guys are on tour, but you're back in Chicago playing for local audiences. What do you have in store over the next month or so?
Well, our music director emeritus is, after taking us on the tour, he's taking a break from us for a while doing other things. And so we have a series of guest conductors over the coming weeks. And the programs are incredibly varied. As I look through the next few weeks, we have some big works by Tchaikovsky and Shostakovich, kind of big Russian war horses. And then a week at the end of this month with some Beethoven and Schubert, so some German music. There's a wonderful concerto for orchestra by Ludoslavsky that's not so well known coming up in the first week of March. And yeah, I enjoy all the weeks that we play, but I'm looking over the next month in particular. And for anyone who's listening who may never have been to Orchestra Hall or hasn't been for a while, there is something in every week coming up that should be a really, really fantastic experience.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, for those that haven't been to Orchestra Hall and seen the CSO, what type of experience can they expect?
Well, it's an interesting question because I think you probably may know, Alex, that classical music is one of those art forms that, to people who don't maybe have much experience with it, it has a little bit of an aura of exclusivity or unapproachability. And people can sometimes think that they need to have prior knowledge of what the music is to come into the hall. And this is something that I very much hope these views are on the way out, because certainly it's not true. And if you compare to going to a museum and looking at works of art in that way, nobody thinks they need to have expertise in order to go and form an opinion of a painting or a picture on the wall. And the same is really true of music. So I guess what I would say to people is, it's going to be a welcoming experience. We do have some program notes that if you want to read beforehand about the pieces you're going to hear, of course you can do that, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with just getting a ticket, walking in the door, and watching the show and taking it in, and whatever is on the program. It's going to be varied. It's going to be, something that hopefully anybody passing by Michigan Avenue on the street is going to be able to find interesting and provocative and hopefully rewarding as well.
Are there ways that people can get involved and support CSO?
Sure. I would say that for those who are less familiar with the orchestra, the first step is just to come and see what we do.
Right.
There are other things that happen at Orchestra Hall besides the CSO. The Civic Orchestra plays there. We have chamber music concerts made up of small groups of colleagues. And under the banner of Symphony Center Presents, there are visiting orchestras, and there's jazz, world music, recitals, piano recital series. So probably, again, people's tastes can dictate what they come to. And then if someone wants to get involved behind the scenes, there are any number of ways to do that in terms of various levels of financial support, or people that have time to volunteer here for certain activities. There are groups for every age and every purpose that operate behind the scenes and are really an important part of helping the CSO thrive.
Yeah, and the website to learn more, CSO.org. Brant Taylor, cellist at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It's my pleasure, Alex. Thank you.
We now welcome Mary Coy, the Chief Development Officer for Inspiration Corp. She joins me now on Score Values. Mary, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Alex. I'm great.
Well, we're delighted to have you this morning. Why don't I give you the floor now to tell us a little bit about Inspiration Corp.
Wonderful. Thank you. Inspiration Corporation has been around for 35 years, and we started very grassroots, kind of a street-based community outreach program, really wanting to connect with people in the uptown neighborhood and using food and really good coffee as a way to do that. So recognizing there were people in the community whose needs might not be met by traditional services and wanting to build relationships with those folks. So we, over time, that was a little red wagon in the beginning, and over time that turned into, you know, a van, a bus, a storefront, and to this day our program, which we call Inspiration Cafe, has been operating as a meals and engagement program for folks experiencing homelessness and poverty. Sort of naturally growing out of that work, when talking to people coming in for meals about other services they might need, they identified both employment and housing as kind of top priorities. So over the years, we added those programs. Our employment program is really rooted in food as well. We had at our cafe a kitchen that wasn't being used when we weren't serving meals, and so we started training people in food service. And about 10, 15 years ago, we opened a second location in the East Garfield Park community that's called Inspiration Kitchens. and that's our social enterprise. That's our social enterprise restaurant and job training program.
So you talk about the way that Inspiration Corporation has evolved from that grassroots organization where it just served meals to the homeless. What has that process been like expanding into what you were talking about, including case management and supportive services, housing, and employment training as well?
Yeah, I think, we really try to partner with people. That's the core of our program model, to, get to know folks, to build trusting relationships, and figure out what their goals are and what their needs are. So it could be as simple as somebody coming in and needing, some hygiene products, or as complex as needing housing. And our goal is to really help folks figure out how to get to where they want to go and be a partner in that process. And I think that's been true since our very beginnings, and that's sort of led our growth and expansion.
So when it comes to your cafe and your kitchens, what can people expect? What can someone maybe going through some food insecurity right now expect when they go into one of these places?
So I should clarify, because it's kind of our name can be confusing, because we're Inspiration Corporations, and Inspiration Cafe is our program in the Uptown community, and that is open to folks experiencing food insecurity, hunger and homelessness. And we invite people in for breakfast every weekday, and we create an environment that feels a lot like coming into a restaurant. So we have volunteers who are working both as cooks and servers. So we invite people in and really have dignity and respect at the core of what we're doing, and wanting to make people feel comfortable and welcome and safe. So people come in, they order off the menu. We have different specials on different days. And then we start to invite them in for additional services as well. So if somebody comes in for a meal and then says, hey, I really need help with identifying some resources for ongoing food insecurity, we might help them access benefits, for example. At Inspiration Kitchens, that is our restaurant that's open to the public a couple days a week. So on Fridays and Saturdays, anyone can come to Inspiration Kitchens and enjoy breakfast or lunch or brunch. And we have a wonderful menu of classics that we've been perfecting over the years. Favorites are shrimp and grits and the jambalaya. We have great burgers, fried chicken sandwich, kind of very, very comfort soul food based. So that restaurant is open to the public on Fridays and Saturdays. And then the other days of the week, we are using that space both as the training center for students in our food service training program, as well as the catering we do out of our restaurant is a great way to engage the students in the process. So there's a lot of hands-on learning at that site. But folks who are interested in the food service training program can visit our website and apply for future cohorts.
Mary Coy, the Chief Development Officer for Inspiration Corporation, joining me this morning on Score Values. Mary, you mentioned Inspiration Kitchens. What are some of the other ways that people can get involved, donate, and support Inspiration Corporation?
Thanks so much for asking that. We have a lot of ways that people can connect and be part of our work. We have volunteer opportunities at both of our locations. We have a website that I'd invite people to visit, which is www.inspirationcorp.org, and we're on social media. Following us on social media is always wonderful. And then we have events where people can come and learn more and support our work. We have one coming up Friday, March 15th. It's called One Inspired Evening. It's going to be held at Morgan Manufacturing, which is at 401 North Morgan Street in Chicago. And this event has been going on for so many years. It really started as a way that folks who were supportive of our work in the arts community and in the chef community could help us out. So we have a wonderful auction with a lot of art involved, pieces of art for sale, for bidding. We have chefs who are joining us with food for people to taste, as well as our own inspiration kitchens being featured. So it's a really fun night, and it's a way to support our work and learn more about our work.
If those are interested in attending or donating, where can they find more information about your gala on the 15th?
So the event website is linked on our own website and social media, but I will also give it to you. It is one.bidpal/OIE24. So the word one, O-N-E dot bid, B-I-D-P-A-L, /OIE24.
Awesome. Are there any other community, you mentioned some of the other community outreach events that you hold throughout the year. What are some of those?
So we are involved in opportunities like job fairs and other community-based events where we talk about how to get engaged in our programs as well as supporting our work through volunteer opportunities. We love partnering with restaurants and other supportive organizations and planning events. We have a small auxiliary board that does social and promotional events at different locations, often bars and restaurants, throughout the year.
Awesome stuff. Mary Coy, the Chief Development Officer for Inspiration Corporation. One more time, the website is Inspiration Corp. INSPIRATIONCORP.org. Mary, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Alex. I really appreciate it.
We now welcome Sheila Gidley, the Executive Director of Canine Therapy Corps, to Score Values. Sheila, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Alex. Thanks so much for having us on.
Yeah, we're delighted to have you. And as I always do, I want to give you the floor to tell us a little bit about your organization.
All righty. Well, we are Canine Therapy Corps, and we train, test, and then place volunteer therapy dog teams where they can help people who have experienced physical or emotional trauma to heal. And so while our teams do go out like on visitation assignments, our niche is goal-directed animal-assisted therapy. And this means that the dogs actually participate in the treatment. So, for example, someone who is learning to regain the use of their legs might work with one of our dogs and take it on a short walk on a leash down the hall. Or maybe somebody who's trying to restore range of motion in their arms or their hands might brush a dog's coat or open and close their hand around a treat and then feed it to a dog. So that's what we do like with physical therapy patients. And then we also have psychosocial programs. And those programs support those in recovery from severe emotional distress, like abuse or neglect or substance use disorder. And these programs run from about 6 to 8 weeks. And in this program, participants work with the dogs, teaching them obedience or agility skills. And what this does is it helps people with communication skills, anger management, self-confidence, and emotional management. There's really so many ways dogs can help in treatment.
What is the training process like for the animals?
So basically, we do offer a lot of training classes, and they're not just for those with aspirations of becoming a therapy dog team. So, you know, if you just want your dog to be better behaved or learn certain skills, they will be in the same classes with those who are aspiring to be a therapy dog. So we offer puppy classes. We offer a foundation class for dogs that are, you know, like over 5 months or, you know, even 5 years. So if you have an older dog that just needs basic skill training, if you have a dog that knows the basics, but you want to help prepare your dog to focus better and behave in a variety of situations, like going out in a crowded place, you can take one of our intermediate classes. And then our advanced class has more of a focus on therapy dog training. And that is to make sure to get the dog used to being petted by, you know, maybe lots of people at once, or, you know, if somebody accidentally, you know, tugs on its tail or its ears, it won't get upset. So it's really just a way to kind of prepare the dog for therapy training. But again, you don't have to commit to becoming a therapy dog team to take this class. And I even just want to back up. So when I say a therapy dog team, that would be an owner and the dog. So anybody who has a dog can be a therapy dog team. They just need to come. You don't even have to train here, but you do have to pass our test.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what type of patients, as far as people with dogs, do you guys work with?
Well, we work with, actually, we have program partners. So we work at, we bring our dogs to places such as Shirley Ryan Ability Lab or Haymarket Center, which works with people who are experienced substance use disorder. We go to Easter Seals and work with kids who are on the autism spectrum. So basically, the populations we serve include those battling substance use disorder. We work with Jesse Brown Medical VA, the Veterans Medical Center for veterans who are suffering from PTSD. We work with places like Lawrence Hall and Lydia Home with children who have histories of trauma, abuse, or neglect. And we work with people of all ages who are recovering from severe physical injury.
And kind of going back to something that you were talking about, Sheila, is that your classes are open to the public, basically all dog owners, correct?
Yes, yes. We offer them there, you know, we've got some going on all the time. And for those of you who might be interested in training your dog or becoming a therapy dog team, you can go to our website, which is caninetherapycorps.org. And CORE is spelled C-O-R-P-S. Actually, now that I think about it, we have another site that will direct you. It might be easier to remember, and that's dogsthatheal.org, and heal is spelled H-E-A-L.
Sheila, what type of community outreach events do you guys have throughout the year?
Well, we do a couple of things throughout the year. So, for example, we team up with Cook County and the Anti-Cruelty Society, and we host a vaccination clinic. And this is where our neighbors in need can bring their pets for free vaccinations. We don't have a 2024 date yet, but those who are interested can keep an eye on our website, dogsthatheal.org, or you can subscribe to our email updates, and that way, you know, we can inform you when it's coming up. We also host a pet pantry, and again, it's for area residents who are in need, and they can come by and get free pet food and supplies. This is taking place, we do this every year at our facility at Fullerton and Pulaski. This is going to be on March 30th, and again, check out our website, or you can subscribe to our emails. And then coming up pretty soon, on February 25th, we're hosting a dog emergency first aid and CPR seminar. So this is really a great event. I'm looking forward to going. We're working with Scout Veterinary Care and Real Dog Moms of Chicago. And for this, tickets are $25, and the net proceeds benefit our therapy dog programs.
And you guys have a gala coming up on the 2nd of March, correct?
You know we do. So this is our big fundraiser. We look forward to it every year. It's a lot of fun. It's the annual Black and White Gala, and like you said, it takes place March 2nd. It's at Revel Motor Row, and again, the proceeds help fund our therapy dog programs. It's so much fun. There's food, drinks, dancing. We have a silent auction, and you can come and meet some of our therapy dogs. They always come and make an appearance. So tickets are available on our website, and we would love to see everyone there.
I'm sure the dogs are the stars of the show. Sheila
they
Gidley,
are very popular, yes.
The executive director of Canine Therapy Corps joins me this morning on Score Value. Sheila, what are some of the ways that people can get involved with the Canine Therapy Corps?
Well, we are always, always looking for therapy dog teams. So you dog owners out there, if you're looking for a meaningful and fun volunteer opportunity that you can do with your dog, please contact us, visit our website. You know, like I said, we can do all the training, or if your dog is already very well trained, you can maybe just take, you know, one brief class or just go right in and take the test. It is a difficult test, though, so we do suggest that your dog, you know, does have good training before you take the test. But, of course, monetary donations, always welcome and needed. And, again, all of this can be done through our website.
Do you have any volunteer opportunities for those without dogs?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do. We, for example, we need volunteers for our tests that we hold once a month because we need to make sure that the dogs respond well to people that they don't know. So we actually need volunteers to come in and like pet the dogs for our tests. That sounds like a horrible job, right? We need people to come and pet and be nice to dogs. And then we also have like different events throughout the year where we can always use some help. And every once in a while, we might need somebody to handle somebody else's therapy dog at some of our, you know, at some of our programs. But usually you do have to be somewhat a little bit versed in therapy dog programs before we let you do that.
Sheila, I can already hear the listeners out there. How do I volunteer to be the dog petter?
Right.
Well, one more time, Sheila Gidley, the executive director of the Canine Therapy Corps, joins me this morning on Score Values. One more time, the website and what folks can find there.
Dogsthatheal.org, H-E-A-L. You see, it's the play on words. You see what we did there? Or caninetherapycorps.org. And from there, you can register to volunteer. You can register to take our classes. You can register for any of our events like the like our gala, which will be a lot of fun, like our emergency first aid class, really anything you want to know about us. If anybody has any questions, feel free to call me or reach out on the website, but we would love to see you.
Sheila, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you. Take care.
That's going to do it for another edition of Score Values. If there's a topic you'd like to hear about on a future edition of our show, or if you'd like to share information about an upcoming charitable event, send us an email at scorevalues670@gmail.com. That's scorevalues670@gmail.com. I'm Alex Kuhn. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Score Values on 670 The Score.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.